I love confirmation. I love this service because it is such a pivotal moment in the life of our young people. It's one of those moments when they're given the chance to say right out loud in front of God and everyone that they want to follow in the steps of Jesus and that they want to be in relationship with God. Not to mention all of us. It's a moment when the church celebrates all that these young people are and all that they will become. Today is a joyous step along the journey of life. And as a church, we celebrate. The sermon that I've written for today is for them. And I hope the rest of you will listen to what I will be saying to them. For I think that it's not without merit for all of us. Today celebrates a journey. These young adults have made it through a year of confirmation class, have tolerated Tanya and I for far too long. It's a year in which they have talked about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Congregationalist. And they've even explored what it means to live by other faith traditions. Today they make a promise to God. It's not a promise to be perfect. It's not a promise to have no doubts. It's not even a promise not to get lost. It's a promise to love God and to do everything in their power to follow where that love takes them. No one knows better that we're not our own than these young adults. From the beginning of their lives, their parents have been constantly telling their children what to do and where to go, how to behave and what they should say. Parents decide what we will eat and where we will sleep and when we'll get up in the morning. These young adults understand in a very concrete way that we're not on our own. Now, while we may struggle, especially as young adults, at these bonds that hold us, there's also something very comforting in knowing that we're not left completely on our own, unaided in the big and sometimes scary world. So I think it's a comfort to hear Jesus' prayer for his disciples, placing them under God's perfect care, binding them to God in a relationship of blessing. This morning, as I and so many others have been doing all along their way, along their faith journey this year, this morning I have a prayer for the four of you. The first part of this prayer is that you will cherish and exercise the privilege of prayer all the days of your lives. It's something that draws our lives into line with God. When we pray, we open ourselves up to all sorts of wonderful possibilities, to comfort like no other, and to a peace that passes all understanding. Of course, we often treat prayer as a vending machine. We insert our request and we receive the desired result. There's a story of a mother who sent her fifth grade boy up to bed, and a few minutes later she went up to make sure he was getting settled. When she stuck her head in his room, she saw that he was kneeling beside his bed in prayer. Not a usual activity for a fifth grade boy. So she paused, as a mother would, and listened to his prayers, and she heard her son praying over and over again, "Let it be Tokyo. Please, God, let it be Tokyo." When he finished his prayer, she asked him, "What did you mean, let it be Tokyo?" Oh, the boy said with embarrassment, "We had our geography exam today, and I was praying that God would make Tokyo the capital of France." Prayer, of course, is not a magical means by which we get God to do what we want. Prayer is an inner openness to God which allows God's divine power to be released in us. Ultimately, the power of prayer is not that we succeed in changing God, but that God succeeds in changing us, making us more like Christ. And so I pray that the four of you will bind yourselves to God in prayer. My second prayer for them today is that they will develop a lifelong habit of scripture reading. And not just scripture reading, but really taking it into your hearts and making it a guiding light in your life. As a child, I remember memorizing scripture for Mr. Distenfeld's sixth grade Sunday school class. I think Ann Callan and Roxanne can remember that too. Oh, did I hate that though. After all, I really didn't see the point. After all, it was all in the Bible. I could always look it up and read it, right? It wasn't until later that I learned that the life-giving benefit of having scripture written on my heart instead of lying mute between the pages of a book on a shelf while I was out living. I discovered the joy and the comfort, the encouragement of having scripture a part of who I am. I still have a hard time memorizing things verbatim. But I've discovered that sometimes putting the scripture into your own words is just as comforting and even more clear. So I pray that you will make the words of scripture a part of who you are, that you will write them on your heart and that you'll never be without them. I pray that you'll bind yourselves to God's word. Finally, my prayer for you is that you will always keep yourselves connected to the fellowship of believers in the church. I imagine that sometimes you guys just don't understand why your parents keep dragging you to church. Maybe you're not all that crazy about sitting through worship service. After all I do is talk, talk, talk. Maybe you think Sunday school is a waste of your time some Sundays and you'd rather be home sleeping. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. It's really not so much about the sermon or about the Sunday school classes. It's about the community. It's about being a part of a group of people who know that they're imperfect and knowing that they can't move forward towards something better alone. We gather here together for growth, for love, and for encouragement. And the four of you are an important part of that. The body of Christ formed by the disciples of Jesus gathered together is a blessing like no other. There was an anonymous writer who wrote about the community of God's people in a way that I find inspiring and challenging too. It's both a description of who we are and a call to action. Listen to these words that the author writes. We are the fellowship of the unashamed. We have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. We have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. We are disciples of Jesus. We won't look back, let up, slow down, or back away. Our past is redeemed. Our present makes sense. Our future is secure. We're finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, colorless dreams, tame division, mundane talking, cheap giving, and small goals. We no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, or popularity. We don't have to be right. We don't have to be first. We don't have to be recognized, praised, or rewarded. We live by faith. We lean on God's presence. We walk by patience. We lift up by prayer and labor by power. Our face is set, our gate is fast, our goal is heaven. Our road is narrow, our way is rough, our companions few. Our guide reliable, our mission clear. We cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. We will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. We won't give up, shut up, let up until we've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up the cause of Christ. We are servants for Christ. That's a pretty lofty statement, and I can assure you that no one person can do this on their own. But together, the body of Christ is all this and more. And so this morning I pray that you four confirmands will continue to choose to bind yourselves to the community of Christ. We need you. I will conclude my words to the four of you with a word of Scripture that will remind you of who you are and whose you are. I find it helpful for all of us to remember this too. Beloved, today you enter into a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. It was truly a pleasure to spend the last year with the four of you. May God bless you on your faith journey. Amen.